Revelations chapter 20 this morning is where we're going to be in the Word of God. I praise the Lord for these young people and the presentation they brought us of judgment this morning. I hope your heart's been touched and there's a reminder of what is in the future for you and I. I hope this morning that you've been blessed. I'm telling you, God's in the house this morning. He's stirring. He's wanting to move in somebody's life today if you'll let Him. He wants to touch you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do a mighty work in your life today. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word in Revelations chapter 20. We'll be breaking in about the 12th verse. If you found your place, say amen. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell, listen, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen to verse 15. And whosoever, that takes in everybody, nations and upon nations, men and women, boys and girls all over the world, whosoever, that includes everybody, every race, every religion, everything. It includes everyone. Can I get a witness this morning? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you'll speak through this message this morning. Speak through these stammering lips, God. And we've asked you many times, but we're asking you, Lord, on this resurrection morning, as we worship and remember, Lord, your great sacrifice of your life, of what you've given and paid the ultimate price for men and women, boys and girls, to have a right to the tree of life. God, we need fresh bread from the ovens of heaven today. We need to be fed of your word. God, should there be anybody under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary today or watching at home, that today will be the day, Lord, they'll walk this aisle. They'll bow their knee and surrender their life to you before it's eternally too late. For we ask it in the highest and the holiest, the only name that we know that's above every name. And that's the name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. There's many things that we can see in this chapter. We see the binding of Satan. We see the exaltation of the saints. We see the first resurrection. We see Satan's final overthrow. We see the last judgment. Get ready, church. We're almost home. Amen. We're almost home. I can see the finish line in my sights. We're almost there. I know you're weary. I know you're tired. But let's run just a little bit further, because this thing's fixing to pay off. We're fixing to go across the finish line. We'll be home forevermore. Won't it be wonderful when we get over there? We see here in this chapter, as the Bible has described and as our children has portrayed the judgment, I know your mind this morning has been reminded of what it's going to be like. And I want to preach this morning a message that God has given me entitled God's Record Book. God's Record Book. I wonder today if you know where your name is written, or if it ever has been written down in blood. I promise you this morning, God knows every person in this building today. But does He know you personally? He knows you because He's created you. He's created everything about you. He knows the way you think, the way you move, everything that makes you happy, what makes you sad, how many hairs is up on your head, even if you ain't got no hair on your head. He knows how many used to be there. Amen. God knows everything that's going on in your life. And I'm glad he can hear us all at the same moment. Amen. He's not only working at Vickers Chapel this morning, he's working at the church up the road, the church down the road, the church across the seas, amen. He's working all around the world, all at the same time. That's the mighty God that we serve this morning. He knows what's going on. And you may ask this morning, how can I get my name in that record book? I'm glad you've asked this morning, because the Lord has put up on my heart to tell you how that you can get your name written down in this book of life. Amen. Number one, I want to tell you a scripture that probably everybody in here has heard or know at one time. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice I said should not perish. It doesn't say they won't perish. He doesn't want you to perish. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Can I hear from you, church, this morning? It's not his will that you would die in a lost state and go to a devil's hell, but it's his will that you be born again and go to this place that he's prepared for you, amen. I told him during the revival, hell's not prepared for the devil. It's only prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you. It's not prepared for your companion, your children, your grandchildren, your cousins, your aunts and uncles. He wasn't prepared for that. It's prepared for those that have rejected the blood. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. But I'm dare to say today that many that have rejected the blood of Jesus Christ and they live this way and they die out that way, you're going to find out exactly what hell is really going to be like. While Hollywood tries to portray it, and they try to portray demons, fighting demons, and all these different things, and how the devil is your friend. They've come out with TV shows to try to make you comfortable with demon possessions and demons and the devil, and that he's your friend, and all this thing. The devil's been doing that all along. Hollywood just kind of got on board with it. And they want you to feel like it's a feel-good thing, and we need to trust death, and death is our friend. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You and I've got a last enemy to fight. His name is death. One day after a while, it's once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. You and I will have a final fight before we leave this world. And I'll tell you what, I've stood by the bedside of those that are lost without God and watch them fight their way right into eternity. I've prayed beside the bed, and they tell me, don't pray, it's too late. I'm on fire. I can feel it all over me. The demons are here to drag me to hell. Is it really real, preacher? I'm telling you, it's real this morning. You'd say, boy, that don't sound like an Easter Sunday morning service. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you exactly what God has given me. Hell is a real place where real people are at right now. Scream it out for mercy, saying, let me be there in that service. Let me be the one walk the aisle. I'll do it. Get me out of this place. But you know what? It's too late for them. There becomes a time in life when your appointment comes. And right now we're standing at the edge of the veil of life, which is like this curtain. But someday soon our appointed time is going to come, and we're going to step beyond the veil. And when we step beyond the veil, there'll be no returning. We will be into eternity then, and we will answer to God for our deeds. We will answer who we are and what we are. And when we stand before a holy God, he's not going to look at you and judge you because you've been a hellion and you've cussed and you've murdered and you've done all these evil things. He's not going to be looking for that. He's going to look for one thing. He's looking for his son's blood is what he's looking for. And all those that stand before him without their son's blood upon their life, he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's what he's going to say on that day. Right now, he's a God of mercy. He's a God of love, and he wants to love you. You see it right here in the scriptures. For God so loved the whole world that he gave the best that heaven had. I don't think y'all getting it this morning. He took the best that heaven had to offer and said, I'll give it for men's sin. Amen. And Jesus was born in this earth of a virgin. He walked 33 and a half years in this life and lived a sinless life. He preached and teached and told people who he was and where he was going and where they could go. That he was going to make a way and bring them out from under the law and make a new law, a new covenant with the people. And they rejected him. 1 week they were praising him. Next week they were crying, crucifying. I dare to say if we would have been back that time, all of us would have been on the side of the people hollering, crucify him, because we didn't know. Have you stood with people in fear, not wanting to stand out and be willing to throw rocks and so you don't be looked at and you don't want to be the one standing out, everybody looking at, and you'll throw rocks just because everybody else is throwing rocks? I dare to say there were people that day. That a week before they was high. Hi, Hosanna, praise to the King on high. We love him. And laying their clothes down, laying their palm leaves down. A week later, they're ready to kill him. Kill him, kill him, crucify him. But all they were doing was fulfilling the will of God. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How can I get my name there? Over in Romans 3:23, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what he tells us in his word. We've all sinned. Romans 3:10, he said, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none of you righteous. I may be wearing a suit this morning. It's a brand new suit. This is only the second time I've wore it. Brand new suit. It looks real good. And you may think I'm a real good person. But if you knew me, who I was before I'd saved, I was a rotten, dirty sinner. But it took the blood of Jesus Christ to make me who I am. Amen. And it's not in a suit that saves me. It's not anything that does any good in my life except for Jesus Christ and his blood. It's only his blood that has made me who I am. Romans 5:12 says, Whereby by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death was pronounced upon all men because all have sinned. Friend, I'm telling you this morning, you've sinned just like I've sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what? I've sinned and come short of the glory of God just this week. Oh, am I the only one? I'll raise both hands. We come short every single week of our life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can get eternal life through him. Do you really believe that? You better believe I do. I've done died once. I died out to sin. I'll never die again. Oh yeah, this natural man is going to die. Because it's appointed for him to die. I'm talking about this inward. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Amen. Yeah, right. And this outward man is going to perish. The one you all are looking at, the ones I'm looking at, every one of us in here, if the Lord tarries his coming, are going to go by the way of the grave. But I'm glad that the inward man that has trusted Christ as his personal Savior is never going to die. When they lay my cold corpse out and you come out here and see me laid out in this box, don't weep and cry and say, oh, Brother Gary, because I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be shouting around the throne of God, amen. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad he's made that promise that when I leave here, I'll get to be with him. Do you really believe that? You better believe I believe it. I believe it with everything in me. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only peace you'll ever have in this life, is being justified before him. Allah can't pray your sins away. Buddha can't pray your sins away. The priest in a box can't pray your sins away. You can only bring them before God and his Son and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Save me or I'll perish. And he'll save your unworthy soul and make you a new creature this morning. I don't know if I care for all that hollering, screaming going on. I'm going to tell you this morning, you'll be glad one day a preacher hollered at you and told you the truth. if you trust Him. But you'll remember, I promise you today, there's a record being kept of this service right now. He knows every single person that's in this building right now. And there's a record being kept in heaven. He knows the message that He's bringing. I ain't got nothing to do with this. The Lord's bringing this morning. I had some other ways I'm going to go, but God said, you go this way. And I've learned one thing to do is to trust Him, amen. When He starts moving, I just start following Him. I'm telling you, there's a record book being kept. There's records being wrote down. And He knows exactly where every person's at this morning. And you may say, I've heard it all my life. I've heard preachers talk about it. And people say how good it is. It sounds so complicated. I'll have to give up everything to be a Christian, to live like that. I don't like wearing a suit. I don't like being around a lot of people. I'll tell you what, if you get the love of Jesus Christ in your life, you'll want to do things you've never done before. Amen. It'll make you love your enemies. It'll make you love those that even hate you. You'll love them. And you'll want to tell them about Jesus. Can I tell you this morning? When I was a little bitty fella, I was saved at 11 years old. And I used to have this guy in elementary school. He'd whip me every day of my life just for the fun of it. And I'd try to hide out because I knew he was going to pick on me somehow. And I would hide out. I didn't want to see him because I knew he was going to lay it on me. And I was always in the principal's office, always before the teachers and always before the authorities because every time I looked around, Gary was rolling around the floor with somebody. I was never smart enough to back down. If they come and wanted to fight, if they was three times bigger, I said, come on, boy, let's go at it. I never would back down from a fight. I'm still the same way. I believe you ought to stand up for what's right. And I remember one time a boy come to me, and I hadn't been saved very long, and I'd been trying to tell people about the Lord, and I was having more trouble than I could even bear at school. We need to pray for our children in these schoolhouses. Amen. And I was trying to be a witness in the schoolhouse, and they were making fun of me and putting me down, but I was still praising Jesus. I was happy on my way, and that one boy come that day, he said, I tell you what, I'm so sick of hearing you talk like that. I'm just going to whip you for who you are. I said, being a Christian, yeah, I'm going to whip you for who you are. You know what I said? Let's go, old boy. It's one time I get to stand up for Jesus, amen. And we went at it. Really, you went at it? Yes, I went at it. You know, I tried to turn the other cheek, but the Lord didn't say nothing about when I turned the other one. So when that other one came, we went at it. And I stood up for the Lord. I can't say I won the fight, but He knew I'd been there. When we got done, I ain't telling none of you young people to fight. There's no excuse for fighting. But I had to stand up. I was being put to the test as a young man. And you know what? When all that got done with and God started dealing with me and really working in my life and molding my life, and I remember as I become a 15-year-old boy, God began to deal with me about the scriptures and started talking to me about preaching the gospel. And I thought, Lord, I'm a 15-year-old child. I don't know nothing about the Word of God. And I go to church, and I was singing with the quartet at the time. And I remember looking over here, and I said, Lord, I don't know scriptures. And I could see scriptures wrote on the wall. You may say I'm crazy, but the Lord would show me scriptures. And I'd say, Lord, is that really what you want to do? And He'd show me other things. And I'd be trying to sing, and all I could think about was scriptures. I'm talking about a 15-year-old boy that already felt like it, the whole world was against him. And I said, I'll tell you what, Lord, if you want me to preach, Lord, I'll step out and preach. And as a 15-year-old child, I remember stepping out one night and God laying His Holy Spirit upon me like I never had before. I preached my first message as a 15-year-old boy, and I ain't backed up since, amen, trying to live for God. But now it did scare me to death. What happened? I began to run from God, run from the call to preach. Every time I'd see somebody and they'd say, Brother Gary, God's calling you to preach. I'd be like, oh, no, He's not. No, not me. And I'd run away. Are you running away today? Running from the will of God? I'd run from God. God's calling, God's moving, God's working, and I just can't get over it, and I can't get away from the Bible, and I can't get away from the will of God, and I just go away from all of it. I stop going to church, I stop reading my Bible, I stop listening to gospel music, I start listening to rock and roll music, I start going to the places I shouldn't go, I start trying to get involved in the world, and every time I do something wrong, I was the first to know it. Every time I went to a place I shouldn't go, I was the first to know it. Every time I run around with somebody I shouldn't be running around, I was the first to know it. And I feel like God was just standing over to the side going, what are you doing? And I got so low that I couldn't hardly pick my head up. My life was a shamble. I'm talking about a child of God running from the will of God. I remember one other feller in the Bible. He got swallowed by a whale doing that. I sure didn't want that to happen. But here I am running and running and running. Now I'm 22 years old. And I've met the love of my life. We've gotten married. We're in a ministry together. God's working. We can't stand on the stage. I'm having to preach everywhere we go. I won't surrender the call. My life is miserable. All of a sudden, something happens in my life to get my attention. My mother's sitting in my driveway one day. I just get home from a fishing trip. God's telling me to give you all this for somebody. I just come back from a fishing trip. I just caught a big old bass, a big old striper bass, 20 pounds. It must have been this big. Y'all got them fish stories. You know, I was happy, boy. We done good. And there sat my mother in the driveway, tears. I got out and I said, Mom, what's going on? We found out today your daddy's eat up with cancer. I want to tell you something. You talk about knocking the props out from under you. I'm talking about my best friend. I'm talking about a man that I didn't go run around with my buddies. I run around with my daddy. We did everything together. I love my mother, and she's here today, praise the Lord. And we've always been close. But me and Daddy done everything together. And when I got that news, it shattered my world. And for 2 solid years, we watched my daddy slowly eat away with cancer. Now, I'm 20 years old when we find out. 2 solid years, he's dying with cancer. When I turned 22 years old, January the 26th, 1994, on a Monday morning, the angels came and took my precious daddy to this place called heaven. You talk about a man that loved God. He loved God and served him faithfully. And when I stood beside his bed and looked at his cold corpse, and my mother and my brother can testify to you today, I knelt on my knees right there, and I said, yes, God, I'll surrender the call to preach. I'll surrender. Right. Whatever you want in my life, God, I'll do it, because I know you want that in my life. Now, did the Lord take my daddy to get my attention? No, but it got my attention. I realized then what life and death was really all about. And all it was going to matter is what I had done for Jesus. It don't matter about the big job and the fine cars and the big homes and all that. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Whatever it is, He loves to bless His people. But I wasn't seeking His will. It took that to wake me up. And that very morning, I surrendered my life. Have I been a good preacher? No. And I'm not much of a preacher. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I'll tell you what I am. I'm a child of God. And I'm following His will. And that record book that's kept in heaven, February the 1st, 1981, he took out his big spiritual pen and he wrote down Gary Adkins, one of mine. Wrote it down in blood. And one day after a while when he comes, there's going to be a book opened, amen. And I'm going to stand before God. And when that big old book is opened up, he ain't going to have to search page after page after page to find my name. Because when I stand before him, he's going to look right down at the book and I can see it through an eye of faith, and he said, I see your name written in on February the 1st, 1981. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joys of the Lord. You talk about a hallelujah time. I'm going to do some shouting during that time. I sure ain't going to be quiet on that. I'm going to say, Lord, turn me loose. I want to run about 1,500 miles that way. Amen. I'll be the one kicking up gold dust through the streets of glory, amen. But I won't be the only one. You're going to be there. That's one appointment you guys are not going to miss. I know that appointment's coming for you. I don't even have to guess. It's coming. And I wonder, when he looks in the book and he looks you right eyeball to eyeball, and he begins to look over it, he'll say, Brother Bryson, I find your name written in. Well done. Brother Braden, I see your name's written here. Come on in to the joys of the Lord. Yeah. I'm talking about joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I wonder this morning, is your name written in the book? How did I get my name there? He said, over in John chapter 10, I believe it is, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, shall call upon the name of the Lord, will call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And when you do that, your name is written down. You know, the devil's been trying to get to the record book all the time, but it's sealed with blood. He can't get to the record book. He'd like to. Oh, if he could, he'd get in there and write over all of our names. He'd throw the book away if he could. But I'm glad he can't do nothing with it. He can't do nothing with God's record book. But maybe you're here today. You're running from God. You're running from the call. You're running from His will. And you're running from salvation. You're running from what God wants for your life. You'll never be happy until you surrender the will of God. God has sent me here this morning to tell you there's a record book being kept. I wonder today, is your name in it? This ain't his book. Could you imagine all these words are names? Is your name there in any of these pages? I wonder. If he was to look through it in the next 2 minutes, if we stood before this book in the next 2 minutes, would your name be here? I can't tell you the Easter services we've preached, we've sung, we've been a part of, and find out afterwards that people went home into eternity, died in an automobile accident, or died in the hospital, died after Easter dinner, just Ravonda's, one of her best friends, daddy, got done eating Thanksgiving dinner, went in and sat down, gone. No time to even say goodbye, gone. What if that was happening to you today? You know all that's going to matter? Is if your name is in this book. Can we think about that for just a minute? As we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.